If Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he can't stand. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Jesus is saying, look, how can I be in league with Satan? I can't even do this stuff unless I first make him powerless, bind him, and render him, you know, unable to help. How can I do anything with Satan? How can I do this unless I first defeat Satan? Why would Satan rise up against his own kingdom? Now, shortly after I first got saved, and I got saved at this wild Pentecostal crusade. It was awesome. And then I, you know, got all religious and stuff. But anyway, I needed it. Shortly after I first got saved, I went to a church where they grounded me in the Word, which was wonderful because I was all over the place. I was bouncing off the walls, and I needed a little stability. But for all the benefit that it was and all the good things that happened, you know, they were still very, you know, very conservative. And they had gospel tracts up on the wall that said the charismatic church was of the Antichrist. Okay? Oh, yeah. I had a relative of mine saying, John, man, I know you've been checking out that charismatic church in Queenstown, man. Don't even go there. Take it from me. I got more experience in this than you. I had a buddy. He was walking with God, man. He got messed up with those charismatics. And after the novelty wore off, next thing you know, he wasn't even walking with the Lord anymore. It just destroyed his faith. And I'm warning you as a brother because I love you, man. Don't get hooked up with them charismatics. I'm so glad I took his advice. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't. Oh, no. God bless the guy. But anyway, I was in this church that said that they believed that the charismatic movement was of the Antichrist, because the reason their rationale was that, well, they knew the Bible said the Antichrist would perform lying signs and wonders, and the charismatics were doing signs and wonders, so they figured that had to be, you know, from the Antichrist. It had to be from Satan. And their reasoning basically went, you know, God allowed people to be afflicted with disease so that they could become more like Christ, who ironically was never sick. And the devil was using the charismatics to miraculously heal folks so that it would not only shortcut their sanctification, but he would so dazzle them with the miracles that he could eventually lead them away from Jesus and make them worship the Antichrist. In a nutshell, that was what was taught. Now, there's a couple problems with that. Acts 10:38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Okay. So the early church basically believed that the devil was doing the oppressing and God was doing the healing. Okay. Now, as Bill Johnson has pointed out, somehow we've gotten to the place today where we've got it kind of twisted around, and now God is afflicting all the people with disease, and Satan is going around doing all the healing. I don't know how we got that way, but somehow we've got this thing a little end over end. Okay? And I'm not going to beat that to death. I could take that in, because I want to say this with all humility. I really do. Man, I do not want to speak arrogantly or presumptuously at all. And my heart hurts for all who are suffering and who greatly desire to lay a hold of that healing from God for them. And I do not dare make light of anything that they're going through. Nevertheless, I think there's a call to look at what Scripture really teaches. Now, if people are encountering, basically, as I look back to where I was back then in that particular church, if people are encountering miracles and loving Jesus less, I would say, yep, they got a good point. people are having an encounter with God, they're getting healed, and all of a sudden they're like, well, you know, we really don't need Jesus after all. He's just, you know, I'm just glad I got my miracle, and they're starting to worship Oprah or, you know, something like that. I'd say, boy, there is a big problem. Absolutely, we need to blow the lid off of this thing, and let's get back to the Bible, man. Let's get back to some serious, sound doctrine. But if they are encountering the power of God and suddenly they love Jesus more than they've ever loved Him in their life, suddenly they love to pray and they want to spend their evenings worshiping God in prayer, suddenly they love the Word and they just devour it and they just see, they meet God and His Word as that Spirit-inspired, Spirit-breathed Word connects with their spirit and ministers to them. If they love being with the people of God and fellowshipping and gathering together. Used to be you couldn't get them to come to church. Now you can't get them to go home. They just want to hang out and love on God's people and worship some more and pray some more and share the gospel. And they're going out telling people what great things Jesus has done for them. If that is the fruit and the result of a miraculous encounter with God, then I think it's got to be God that's doing it. Otherwise, Satan is destroying Satan's work. And the Bible says in 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, so that He might destroy the works of the devil. So if people are loving sin less and loving Jesus more as a result of a supernatural experience, I believe it has to be from God and not the devil. Do I dare go on? Yes. Please hear my heart. I want to say this as honestly, as plainly, as passionately, and as humbly as I possibly can. Because these are weighty issues, and these are things that many people wrestle with, and things that I have wrestled with. And we're talking about real people in real life where the pain is real and the stakes are high. And it's not something we treat cavalierly or approach with a flippant spirit. These are holy things. And they are weighty and carry much accountability. The question might come up, can God use sickness to help us to become more like Christ? I would say yes, He can. God can use everything and anything in our life to help us become more like Christ. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to those who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. It's not that He wants to use that or that He wouldn't rather heal us. He is just able through His sovereign power to do all of those things. However, when I look in Scripture, if I'm looking for God's method of transforming us into the image of His Son, I don't see sickness as God's chosen method. What I see is the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans saying, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I see him saying in Romans chapter 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Transformation takes place by the renewing of our mind. Power of sin over sin takes place through the filling and the walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. So it would seem to me, and I say this with all humility, it would seem to me that God's plan for making us more like Christ is not to fill us with disease and sickness, but rather that we be filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with the Word of God. Because that gives us power over sin and allows our thinking to change to where we see the world and our life through God's eyes and respond that way rather than in the old lies and deceptions we used to walk in. Reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. Stay filled with the Holy Spirit and feed on the Word of God, and you will be transformed into the image of Christ. Somehow we've gotten to the place where God we think, and this is my fault because I preached this for 10 years, that God afflicts His covenant children with sickness and disease to make them more like the one person in the world who was not only never sick, but in fact went out and healed everybody else who was. That's not a logical premise. To become more like Christ, one would think we would suffer less with disease and heal everybody else who was. Under the old covenant in Deuteronomy 28, if you were blessed by God, He said, I will keep these diseases from you that I'm afflicting upon the wicked people. Why is it that now under the new covenant, God has started putting those diseases on people when we're supposed to have a better covenant in Jesus Christ? Okay? Food for thought. Food for thought. Praise God. So these guys were saying he's delivering these people by the power of Satan. And I'm saying, man, no, if people are loving God more and loving sin less, it's not the power of Satan at all. Satan's not destroying himself, it's the power of God. Amen? Okay, praise God. Thank you. Thank you for indulging me. Now, before I go on, the Holy Spirit sort of spoke to my heart yesterday. There's this thing about this unpardonable sin. Now, right on the heels of that, Jesus told this to the scribes. He said, assuredly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they may utter. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation, because they said he has an unclean spirit. Now, shortly after I got saved, after I'd borrowed the library book, God was doing so much in my life that Satan just figured he had to counterattack somehow. And so I came across this scripture about this unpardonable sin for blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and the devil starts beating me up with this because I have a weird, twisted sense of humor.